theories. 2 Samuel 23 in our text is verses 13 to 17, and that's in your bulletin also. Now, if you've been with us, you remember that we've been doing a series in the life of David that we started way back in January. And we've come down to the last three messages of that series. And we've said throughout that we learn a lot of things about David. There's a lot of good things that we've seen, but there's a lot of not so good things. But all throughout, good and bad, what we've said is we're pointing beyond David to the greater David, the one to whom David points, the greater David, the ultimate king, Jesus Christ. And we're looking to the God who keeps his promises to David, because this is the same God who keeps his promises to us. And where we come now in these last four chapters of 2 Samuel, it's kind of like an epilogue to the David story. And they're not necessarily in chronological order, but it's just kind of summarizing. There's a few stories that they give you there, and it's really setting the stage for when you get to 1 Kings and the kingdom passes to Solomon. So this is a strange story that we're looking at about David's mighty men. Kids, how many of y'all like superheroes? All right, here are some real life superheroes here in the story that we're going to read about. From verse 8 all the way down through 39, it describes David's mighty men. Back in 1 Samuel 22, some of you guys will remember that David was hiding out. He was running from Saul, and he hid in the cave of Adullam. And you remember that some people came and gathered to him, and it described them as they were in debt. Anybody know how that feels? They were in distress. Anybody know what it means to be in distress? And some of them were discontented. They weren't happy with life. They were broken down by everything that was going on around them. Anybody know what that feels like? Well, people that were feeling that way rallied around David, and they became his elite fighting force that we call his mighty men. And so we're going to read about three of them in this story here. And the theme I'm calling this is, I second that devotion. I second that devotion. And yes, I stole the title from Smokey Robinson and the Miracles. I second that emotion. But this passage talks about the idea of devotion, of being devoted to one another. That's one of the things in the time that I've been here, I've been so impressed with this church. Even in the midst of a pastoral search, you've hung in there and you've remained strong and you've been devoted to each other. Well, this passage encourages us in that more. Well, let's look at this strange passage. Beginning with verse 13, hear now the reading of God's word. And three of the 30 chief men went down and came about harvest time to David at the cave of Adullam, when a band of Philistines was encamped in the valley of Rephaim. David was then in the stronghold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then at Bethlehem. And David said longingly, "Oh, that someone would give me water to drink from the well of Bethlehem that is by the gate." Then the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and carried it and brought it to David. But he would not drink of it. He poured it out to the Lord and said, "Far be it from me, Lord, O Lord, that I should do this. Shall I drink the blood of the men who went at the risk of their lives?" Therefore, he would not drink it. These things the three mighty men did. And this is God's word. Let's open together in prayer. Father, again, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you that it's living and active, that it's sharper than a double-edged sword. Lord, we thank you that it's able to get beneath the surface with us. You're able to get through your word to our hearts, our thoughts, our attitudes, and our minds. And so we pray that you would do that. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would illumine our understanding, so that we can understand these words and this story that we read. And not only that, not only do we want to hear these words, but we want to be doers of the word too. So we pray that you would fill us with your power. Holy Spirit, fill us in this place so that we can walk in light of what you call us to today. Help us to grow in being devoted to you and to one another. We ask all this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Well, there is a famous story about a son that decides that he wants to live life on his own and that he can determine better the way that his life should go rather than his father. And so he decides to go his own way. Maybe you've heard about that story. Gotcha. But that's one of the things that happens in Finding Nemo. Some of you have seen that. But you're in the story. You can go to the next slide. Nemo swims away from where his father has called him to go. And then he gets captured by a diver there. And then he gets taken to, what's her name? Darla. Now that's a scary sight, right? To be in the clutches of Darla. That's where he's ended up because he's decided to go his own way. Well, what does his father do? His father stops at nothing to go find his son because he's devoted to saving his son. The next page, he goes and he and his friend, who are devoted to each other, they go and in spite of incredible giant sharks that come after them, they still go to find his son. In spite of mines that they swim through and go through and around, risking their own lives, they go because they're devoted to saving his son. In spite of swimming through all these jellyfish, you might remember that part. They go because they're devoted in finding this lost son. Finally, even a whale. And it's a good thing that Dory speaks whale because it helps them. But they're devoted to finding the lost son. The next slide. And ultimately, they come and they meet together. And it's interesting, there's a scene in there where the animals are talking to each other because word begins to spread about this father who has gone through all these things to go and find his son. He's devoted to finding him. And so he risked his own life to bring his son back. That's a sign, an example of devotion. And that is what we are called to have with one another. We're called to be devoted to one another. There's a verse in Romans 12. It says, be devoted to one another out of brotherly love or out of brotherly affection. Honor one another above ourselves. That is the call that we've been given. And you say, oh, that's great. That's easy. We're doing great at that, aren't we? I love in the prayer of confession today. I wanted to read that again, the second paragraph, because this is really what it's about. It says, gracious God, you have called us to be a new community of Christ. And yet we remain divided. It says, forgive us our fear, our anxiety, our prejudice and misunderstandings. Strengthen our common bonds and deepen our resolve to promote the unity of your church. That is a call and a prayer for greater devotion among God's people. So what in the world can we learn from this strange story? Have y'all ever heard that story before that I read from 2 Samuel 23? That's a wild story. You're probably like, what in the world are we going to get with that? From that. Well, hopefully three things. Hopefully it's going to show us our devotion to one another. Hopefully it's going to teach us about our devotion to God. And then lastly, hopefully it's going to teach us about the greatest devotion of all. All right. So our devotion to each other, our devotion to God, and the greatest devotion of all. Let's start with our devotion to one another. Now here there's two great examples of devotion, both David's men and David. So first, let's start with David's men. Verse 13 and 14 kind of sets the scene. Three of the 30 went down, and about harvest time, they went to David in the cave. That's his stronghold. And a band of Philistines, that's one of their great enemies, was encamped in the valley. And David was in the stronghold. The garrison of the Philistines was at Bethlehem. And David, in verse 15, expresses a longing. He says, oh, that someone would give me water to drink from the well at Bethlehem that was by the gate. Now, you know where Bethlehem is. That's one of his hometowns. Do you ever have a longing to go back to the place where you came from? And a longing, and I don't think he even meant that literally, but he longed to be back in that place again. Do you know what that feels like? And to be back and to taste the taste and to smell the smells and see the sights of that place that you came from. But then maybe also at this time when he's running for his life, he's also longing for some other things. He's longing for the promises of God in his life to come to fruition. Now, this is probably happening at a time before he's the king. God has anointed him and said, you are going to be the king. And now he's running for his life and hiding in a cave. Do you ever feel like that? When you're longing for the promises of God to be made real in your life, and it seems like you're in absolutely the opposite place of where what God said and what God promised. That's where he is. Maybe he's at a time where he's doubting. God, are you really with me? Do you ever feel like that? God, are you really there? God, are you really going to come through on what you said? Well, then we come to verse 16. And this is really interesting. This is where the devotion of the men comes out. What's the first word in there, verse 16? What's it say? Then. Then. It's not a trick question. Then. We'll come back to that. It says, after they hear this, then the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines. So kind of imagine that. These are fierce warriors, the Philistines. And there's three of David's soldiers. And they take it upon themselves. They break through the camp. And they get to the well. And they get water from the well. And then it says they get it by the gate. And they carry it. And they bring it to David. And so three of them break into the enemy camp. They go to the well. They get the water. I don't know how in the world they got the water out without spilling it. Fighting all these other guys. But they do. And they fight and they bring it back before their king. Now, I highlighted that verse. It just, at the beginning of the verse, it just said then. David didn't ask them to go do this. David probably wasn't even assuming that anybody was listening to what he was saying and that anybody would act on this. But all they hear is the longing of the king. And then it says then. That in and of itself moves them to action. Because they're devoted to their king. They're devoted to the one that they love. Have you ever had friends who are so good and they know you so well that they can see something that you need even before you need it? Even before you see it, rather. And maybe even before you need it. And then they go and they take care of that need before you even realize that you needed it. Have you ever had friends like that? Well, that's the kind of friends that he has. And every church has to have people like this who are devoted to each other. In the midst of all of our busyness. In the midst of an individualistic culture. In the midst of us sometimes being so consumed in ourselves and our world. This devotion is saying, pay attention to other people to the extent that you can see the things that they long for. And you can think about how to meet those things, those needs. That's some of the devotion that we see. But not only do we see that in David's men, also we see it in David in a strange way. Verse 16. Now, before you want to hit David, hold on. Let's see what happens. Because what does he do? It says David wouldn't drink it. And not only would he not drink it, he poured it out. And this is long before the times where you're pouring out your water for your dead homies and all this stuff. You're like, what in the world is David doing? Doesn't that seem, they fought, they did all of this. They fought to go get the water and now they come back and you pour it out? That seems cruel and ungrateful. What's wrong with him? How could he do such a thing? Actually, he's showing devotion to them. What do I mean? Verse 17. It says that, far be it from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Shall I drink the blood of men who went at the risk of their own lives? David says, this is incredible, but I'm not worthy of the blood of these men. There's only one who is, and that's Almighty God. And so I'm going to pour that water out to the Lord because there's nobody that's worthy of drinking it but him. And I'm not going to take it because of my devotion to you. And so here we have a picture of devotion to one another. Now, what does that look like with us before we go on? Again, think about it. Do you have friends who do this for you? You say, well, I'd like some friends like that. Well, how do we get friends like that? By being friends like that. That's how. By looking at the lives of the people around us to see the needs that they have and to try and meet those with all that we have, however great, however small, and doing that. And here's something that speaks to us that are in positions of leadership. Now, there's some leaders that they would have brought the water. They said, hey, man, where's the ice? Go back and get some more. But not David. He's so devoted to his men that he pours it out for the Lord. And that speaks to us who are in positions of leadership, that we treat the people that we serve with honor and respect and dignity. Because what they do isn't serving us. It's serving Almighty God. And so we pour it out to him. So first thing we see is devotion to one another. Secondly, not only that, but we see here devotion to God. David's actions reveal his devotion, not just to the men, but his devotion to God. What do I mean? Back to verse 16 again. What did it say? It said that he poured it out to the Lord as a drink offering. Why does he do that? Well, at least two reasons. One is that he wants these men, he wants them to look at this and not be able to take glory for themselves for what they've done. He doesn't want them to take glory for themselves. Now think about what they did. That took incredible skill, strength, courage, devotion. But who's the one that gave them the skill? Who gave them the strength? Who gave them the courage? Who gave them the devotion? Almighty God gave all of that to them. It's not anything that was from them. It came from Almighty God. And so he pours it out so they understand what you did was amazing, but that's because your God is amazing. You can put up Psalm 115. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory for the sake of your steadfast love and faithfulness. Think about all that God has given to you. You say, I worked hard. Who gave you the strength to work? You say, but my education, who gave you the education? Well, I got the reason. Who gave you the resources? Who gave you the mind? Who gave you all of those things? Almighty God. And so a great temptation for all of us, preachers especially, is to take glory for ourselves, for what God has done. Think about all that God has given to you. He's given you so much. Give him the glory for what he's done. So David wants to make sure they don't take glory for themselves, but also he's devoted to God in that he doesn't want them, or he doesn't want to take glory for himself. He not only doesn't want them to take glory for themselves, but he doesn't want to take glory for himself. Now in that culture, it was to a king's glory to have your men risk their lives for you. But what David did was he pointed beyond himself. He says, I'm pointing to the one who's really the king. I want to point to Almighty God and give him the praise. There's a quote that I heard that says, you want to treat praise like it's perfume, right? You put it on sparingly. And you definitely don't want to drink it. You can put up that next verse. Proverbs 27. The crucible is for silver, and the furnace is for gold, and a man is tested by his praise. Another translation says, a man is tested by the praise that he receives. Because when you hear the praises of people, that tests what's really in your heart. Because the temptation is to be able to say that I did it. It's because of me. Glory should go to me. But David says, no, it goes to God. To him be the glory for the great things that he's done. And not only do I want the water to be poured out, but I want my life to be poured out. This is Paul quoting from 2 Timothy 4. I am already being poured out as a drink offering, he says, at the end of his life. That's how he viewed his life. At the end of his life, he doesn't stand up and say, man, look at all the churches I've planted. Look at all the New Testament letters that I've written. Look at all the great theology books that I've filled with my doctrine and my intellect. And look at how God has used me. He saw his life as being a drink offering in and of itself. And it was poured out unto God. What about ours? Not only are we to be devoted to one another, but we're a people devoted to God who give him the glory for all that he's done so that our lives are poured out to him. Now, how do we do that? You got to know the third thing. And that's the greatest devotion of all. If we're going to be a people who are devoted to one another and to be a people who are devoted to God, then we've got to know the greatest devotion of all. And that's the third part. The greatest devotion of all is not our devotion to one another. The greatest devotion of all is not even our devotion to God. The greatest devotion of all is not, as Whitney used to say, and you can put that picture up, or Randy Watson. Some of you might get that. And when they're singing the song, they say the greatest love of all is learning to love yourself. That's not the greatest devotion of all. Lord, all these memories come floating back as I read. The greatest devotion of all is the Lord's devotion to us. He put up that next verse. This is a verse that describes the character of God. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. And that word that's translated steadfast love, we've been seeing that throughout the series. It's that Hebrew word hesed. It's God's loyal, steadfast, long-suffering, patient love that says, I'm not going to let go of you even when you let go of me. That's the greatest devotion of all. It's not our devotion to each other, our devotion to God. It's Almighty God's devotion to us. If we're going to grow into being a people who are more devoted to one another and more devoted to God Himself, then we've got to know and grow in knowing and more this love, this greatest devotion of all, the devotion of God to us. Now, David is an amazing leader, right? We've seen him do great things. He's described, rightfully so, as a man after God's own heart. But we've seen that he's also a mess who made a mess of a nation and of his own family. And so it can't be that he's trusting in his own skill and expertise and even his own accolades from God to guide him. But what does he depend on? You can put up that next verse. Psalm 51, when at his greatest moment of failure, when he goes to ask God for forgiveness, what is the basis with which he asks God to forgive him? He goes and he says, have mercy on me, O God, according to my record. According to the fact that I killed Goliath with a slingshot and a stone. According to all the good things I did in not killing Saul. And all the good things that I provided and all the psalms that I wrote and all the great things and great accomplishments that I made. Is that his hope? No. He says, have mercy on me according to your steadfast love. According to your devotion. There's a hymn that says, it's not my love for you, but it's yours, O Lord, for me that rids me of this dark unrest and sets my spirit free. It's on Christ. It's on Christ. It's on Christ, the solid rock we stand. And all other ground is sinking sand. Now, you know, the cool thing is that sitting here today in June of 2019, we know a lot more about the greatest devotion of all than David did. You say, what are you talking about? David, man after God's own heart, all those things. How do we know more about the greatest devotion of all? Because we know the one to whom David points. We know the ultimate king from Bethlehem. We know the greatest warrior. We know the one who wasn't just called a mighty man, but who's called mighty God. And that's Jesus Christ himself. And Jesus Christ, what we have, brothers and sisters, is one who broke through the gates for us. But not through the gates of Bethlehem, but the gates of sin and death itself. Why? In order to bring us living water. Not just at the risk of his life, but at the cost of his life. We know the one who is so devoted to the Lord. He comes before him and says, not my will, but your will be done. And for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. And now he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Thanks be to God that he didn't just have his water poured out for us, But his own precious blood was poured out for us. Out of his devotion. And it's in that devotion that we grow in ours. In knowing him. Do you know the greatest devotion of all today? You know it only through knowing Jesus Christ. The one who showed the ultimate devotion for us and to God so that we might have life. What about you today? Maybe there's somebody that's come today and you don't even know him for yourself. You've been hearing about this devotion. You're like, I want that. I want it. Well, what you really want is him. He's the one who is the steadfast love of the Lord that never ceases. And he is ultimately devoted to you so that you might be devoted to him. And so won't you come to him in faith? Maybe some of you are here today and you're like, I know him, but I'm tired. I'm devoted, but I'm tired. I'm devoted, but I've been at this for a while and I'm tired. Did I say that I'm tired? Well, what does he say to you? Come unto me. All that are weary and heavy laden, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Because of his devotion to you, he'll give you the power to be devoted to him and to one another. Let's pray. Father, we second that devotion that you've given to us. That's the greatest devotion of all. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. We celebrate that, and we want to live in light of that. Lord, help us to live out our lives devoted to you above everything else, so that whatever praise we receive, we pour it out unto you, so that we give you glory for everything that you've given to us and done through us. And, Lord, help us that we might be devoted to one another, despite all the distractions that would keep us from doing so, despite all the different lines that people normally divide over, I pray that you would break through the gates of those so that we might be devoted to one another. Thank you for New City Fellowship South, your devotion to them and their devotion to you and to each other. We ask all this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
People of God, let's stand and gather in a circle around our room to prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper.